This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And it's wonderful to introduce Karen Sigmund. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here. Really just terrific, Peter. Thank you.
All the way from the West Coast. So we are far away apart, but it is great to have you. And I had the privilege of catching up with you, meeting you for the first time over at the Propaganda Conference, which we'll get into. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Actually, Karen, it's one of those things. When I go to a conference, I enjoy sitting at the back, taking in a bit, working a bit, but actually it was a bit of a spoil because I couldn't really work much because every guest was interesting. So thank you.
Good. My pleasure. Glad it was, the whole thing was engaging. It was a long, busy day, but I'm so glad.
It was really worthwhile. Before we jump in, let me bring up where people can find you on the website, AmericanFreedomAlliance.org. People can go up there and see previous conferences and many other things. Also on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Vimeo. So it's all there. But kind of your background is interesting. It's not in this commentating or journalism. It's actually quite a different background. So do you want to just take a moment and introduce yourself, I think, to the viewers before we jump into the topic?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I am a little bit of a fish out of water, although I'm very, very happy swimming where I swim. My original was science. I was a scientist working to help find Soviet submarines during the Cold War. Or developing ways of finding them. I wasn't actually finding them, but developing new sonar systems. So that was wonderful and very exciting. And then we won the Cold War, and I turned to international relations, trying to discover how all these things happened. And then from there, I got a doctorate in education and American culture. So I'm kind of all over the map in some senses, but in other senses, there's a real consistency. Truth, freedom, the American way, and everything that supports all of those things. And honestly, pursuit of truth is key. Without the truth, you really don't get to freedom. And without freedom, you can't get to the truth. And so weirdly, it all does somehow fit together.
So you're Dr. Karen, my apologies for not referring to you as doctor when I met you. I
just realized, please,
there's Karen. But so what was your doctorate in? Was that in all that water stuff you mentioned in the beginning?
No, it had nothing to do with that. From my master's with international relations, so the first work was science finding the bad guys. Now, how do the bad guys become the bad guys? What is it that happens to create situations where you need defense? That was international relations. Then I took even further step back and wanted to understand how people developed a national identity. And then from there, it was how they develop identity at all. And I was starting to do a study of how teenagers develop their identity in the United States versus France. And then it really conflated, and I just wound up looking at those influences, those things that influence adolescence, and wound up just doing an analysis of young adult literature, which wasn't a big deal at the time, but of course now is a huge deal because we're talking about what kids are being forced to read. So I was actually ahead of that curve. I was doing literature that kids were being forced to read, and it was horrific. It was pornography. It was soul destroying, identity destroying, all those things that we're seeing now. So from science to reading literature aimed at adolescents, it's a big leap. But all of them, so then I became, in the journey, I went from scientist to becoming an educator. As an educator, I saw the damage that's being done. And I taught various things, various years, seventh grade through university, in topics like science, math, Latin, French, freshman writing, all of that. And then I started an organization called Rage Against the Media, because we know the media, not good media like you, but mainstream media is the problem. And then I ended up president of the American Freedom. So that's been that whole journey.
Wow. So I just stuck my headphones on because my media team will tell me, no, get your headphones on. It's better audio. So that was why I was sticking them on. I forgot. Sorry.
Okay. No.
How do you get, so I understand you took on the reins of American Freedom Alliance after the founder, Avi Davis, had passed away. Tell us about that. How do you get from all the submarine stuff, then you get the education, and suddenly you find yourself overseeing one of the major organizations fighting for freedom in America? So how did that happen?
You never really can see the end game, but by making decision after decision, each one of which made sense. So the American Freedom Alliance, I'd heard about in Los Angeles. I'd only just moved back to LA. And freedom, as I said, freedom is always key to me. My father was born in Berlin in 1928. I understand how freedoms are eroded. So that's always been very important to me. And when I heard about AFA, I thought, oh, this sounds really great. And he had Avi Davis, who was the founder of five main areas of concern, the media being one, education being another, global radical environmentalism, Islam encroaching, and global governance. And I thought, I know a lot about all of these things. Having been an educator, I did Rage Against the Media, the global radical environmentalism I knew because from the underwater acoustics work I had done. The only one and global governance, my master's was on the EU, and so I was very plugged into those kinds of things. I didn't know much about Islam. But when Avi died, so many of us here in Los Angeles felt we cannot let this organization go. We just can't let it go. It's much too important. He had held amazing conferences, had developed amazing connections with important, very good, strong, pro-freedom fighters. And I didn't set out to take it on, but I wound up being the one to whom the reins were passed. I seemed to have that skill set. Somehow I had the knowledge and then the skills to be able to pull it together. He died in December of 2015. We held an event 2016 just to sort of see if we could do this, and we could. And now since 16, we've been holding multiple major events every year, and then smaller ones throughout the year also. We've kept going through COVID with Zooms and all kinds of lectures and all kinds of things. So somehow all of that weird eclectic background with the science, with the everything, led me to be able to do this. I don't know. And it's a wonder, because none of those things I had done in the past really tapped into other sides of me. But this one, all gears are engaged all the time. And it's wonderful.
Well, tell us, I mean, our audience is quite mixed. It's been predominantly UK, but I think Getter bring a US flavor to it, which we stream on. But can you take to our UK audience who may never have heard of American Freedom Alliance? I think it's a good opportunity for you to let them know what the organization actually is about.
Yeah. So, yes. And it's been evolving anyway. But in the US, we are very lucky to have a really active civic tier of organizations that I don't know that it exists to some extent in the UK, but it's really a huge tier in the United States. Mm. Nonprofit organizations, think tanks, all of those. It's a layer of information gathering, of studying, of research. I know in Germany they have Max Planck Institutes, but that's That's not really private either. We are private. We are donor funded. All of these are donor funded. We are separate. We are literally not driven by profit. People give us money with the understanding that we will spend it in a way that they would like to see money spent to advance a cause or whatever. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do. Again, outside of government, outside of private enterprise, we research, we learn, we disseminate information. And by we, I mean this kind of organization. But AFA, as freedom being our dominant goal, and American freedom, but I think that was the original purpose. But one comes to realize it's really Western civilization that's at risk. Without we all need each other. Is America the standard bearer finally of Western civilization? I don't know. I'm not going to go that far, but I do know that if America is lost, it's going to be a much tougher fight. So we need to make sure that America does stand for those things that are emblematic of Western civilization and freedoms generally, and Judeo-Christian values and so on. So to be able to have that charter, again, outside of governance, there is, I don't know how familiar you are with Andrew Breitbart, but he was a major activist here, not that far from here, in fact. And he said, politics lies downstream from culture. And he's absolutely right. And the implication of that is you can fight on the political level, as one should, and as we do, but so much of what we're dealing with is disseminated through the culture. And so what we aim to do with the American Freedom Alliance, we sort of target the cultural narrative a little bit, and then hope that that then swims back upstream into elections. But you can't rely on elections alone. You can't rely on politics alone. Certainly, I think we're all learning that. So if we disseminate culture, if we disseminate information, we combat what the left does culturally. If you think about what everybody knows, right? Everybody knows the world is heating up because of humans. Everybody knows. And because of that, we have to have this green agenda and we have to destroy everybody's economy. Well, it turns out not so much. So we try to combat all these, what everybody knows. Everybody knows that religion is the cause of all evil. Well, actually, that's not the case. So we are in a position to be able to fight that back outside of the fight back against that outside of the political realm. Everybody knows that school shootings happen because there are too many guns in the United States. Actually, that's not the case at all. We did a conference on school shootings after the Florida Parkland shooting, because these things tend to be used, tend to be exploited in order to take away freedoms. So we had a whole conference on that, on school shootings. None of us think school shootings is a good idea. And they're all, it's unbelievably horrific. But if you don't address why they happen, you're not going to solve the problem. If you just come out at the gun, you're not solving anything. I tend, as again, scientist, I want to understand the problem so that we can resolve the problem.
What has been, I mean, you've been involved in this now for what, the last 5 years, 6 years? What has been the conference? I was at, let me bring up the website and the viewers can see that. So that was the propaganda conference, and this is on the website, AmericanFreedomLance.org, and it goes to all the different people. James O'Keefe was there. Mark Crispin Miller opened up the conference. Then you had Alex Newman talking about the whole transhumanism. Dr. James Lindsay talked about education, how it's been impacted by the whole queer agenda and CRT. Dr. Naomi Wolf, you have Matthias Desmet, Patrick Wolf. And there were so many, and Michael Grady having a hypnotist there. Okay, that was just, I wasn't expecting that at all. But and Elizabeth Sabadich Wolf, who's been on before, a wonderful friend, and I know a wonderful friend of yours. But there were so, it was so wide. And actually, I love going to a conference and having people on that you're thinking, I wasn't expecting that. And it takes a lot of work to put together such a list of names on that topic and then moving on to another topic. So, I mean, tell us about that kind of, I guess, eclectic mix that brings substance to all those issues.
Yeah, there's a lot of magic to it. When I come up with the idea for a conference, or we, you know, generally in conversation, you know what we really need is a conference on propaganda. When it hits you, you think, well, that's just so obvious. Is it too obvious? But then you start to dig deeper. And my original vision was 2 days, and we'd have all these amazing speakers on one day about laying it all out with case studies, and this is how they do it. But then the second day, I wanted us to learn how to do it better. And then, but I always know that the end result will never be what my original vision is, which is fine. I pull on threads. I read more things, and I watch videos, and then I pull threads and I put emails out. And some are obvious, like Mark Crispin Miller at a certain point just became obvious. He had written the introduction to Bernays' book on propaganda. Just so obvious. James O'Keefe was obvious to wrap it up. Many are,
and it was amazing. James, just let the viewers know, James O'Keefe was a perfect end. He brought humor, he brought intrigue. It was a wonderful end to the conference.
Yes, thank you. And I really, you know, like I said, we've done school shootings, we've done the left's long march through the institutions, we've done California as being destroyed. But you need to make sure that you just don't end on this supremely depressing, you know, Harry Carey kind of a thing. And I thought James O'Keefe was perfect. The humor, many of them were humorous. Even Mark Crispin Miller, very serious. Yeah. He's, you know, I'm coming to this deep blue left wing hellhole, but I come to you from another left wing hellhole on the other coast. So there was a lot of great stuff throughout. And I guess I wanted a lot of seriousness. I wanted introduction. But I had a trajectory in mind of taking us, and you mentioned Alex Newman, to transhumanism, because that's where we're heading. So I see where it's going, and I sprinkle in case studies. We had Guy Millière talking about the invention of the Palestinian state and how the propaganda about Israel. We had Elizabeth talking about the propaganda in Austria. One of the things that I really wanted to make sure we did not do was all COVID all the time. It would have been very easy to just do a day of COVID-related propaganda. And thinking about it, there was very, very little of that, which was also by design. We sort of get it. I thought propaganda of Austria was particularly, I don't know, it was very interesting because it was different from what we saw here. So to me, the impetus for the propaganda conference was that everything to do with COVID and the tyrannical, everything that came out of it was because of propaganda. But because they've gotten good at propaganda and we've gotten not good at perceiving it and arming ourselves against it. So, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted people to walk out of there, including the hypnotist, saying, you know, I see how this happened. What's still fascinating to me, though, and but you mentioned Matthias Desmet. I had interviewed him beforehand and we played that. The question that's most intriguing to me is why are some of us utterly impervious to this? It just doesn't penetrate into me at all. And you, and there's, I imagine 99% of your viewers, we're walking around going, how do you people not see what's happening? How do you not, how are you still, I don't understand this. Some of us, it doesn't penetrate. And to me, that's the next question. Why? Because it's not intelligence. I know a lot of intelligent people who are swayed. I don't know. It's a peculiar thing. But I'm grateful to not be one of those people. On the other hand, my days are much more stressful than those who think, oh, the mask is just going to solve everything. How do those conferences come together? It's just a weird, every day is an adventure. And then there it is.
I was looking, I think it was 2 years ago, you had some, again, European kind of well-known, Dan Hannan, who's Conservative Party, and I think is now a peer. You had Stephen Wolfe, who I kind of knew Stephen from his time in UKIP. But you'd also Katie Hopkins, you'd Terry Badeau, you had quite a number of actually Europeans. So it's not always just a US theme or focus, but actually you seem to have a European flavor at different conferences.
And I tried this time too, with Desmet not being able to come here, but Elizabeth, my personal background, dad was from Germany. My personal background is very connected to Europe. I went to a French lycée here in Los Angeles then hired me and then fired me. Whole nother story. So I do have a connection, but also, as I said, America and Western civilization, to me, are very tied. We had that conference on the left's long march through the institutions that was generally about American institutions, fully aware that it had also happened in Europe. So that was in May of 2019. October of 2019, we then followed it up with our Global Freedom Movements conference that, I don't know if I can say a bad word, I'll use the euphemism. To me, it was just the same stuff, different continent. It's exactly the same. The institutions have been subverted, all of them, in the same way. So instead of talking about that again, I wanted to invite those globally, but especially Europe, who were fighting this. Fighting education, in large part immigration, free speech issues, Brexit. Brexit had been voted on, but still hadn't happened, which is why Dan Hannan, still Stephen Wolfe. We had people from France, Belgium, Austria, Italy, Romania, Poland, and then we had a whole Asian sector. So it really is the same stuff, different continent. The fight is the same, and I wanted all the fighters to come together, not only to tell us what they all were doing, but to interact with one another and take heart that they weren't as alone as they may feel. So yeah, preserving Western civilization has been the greatest force for good that has ever happened. And it was actually that statement that's wound up getting me fired from my job.
From a French school. Mention that before we go on to some of the other speakers you've had.
Yeah. So I went to the French lycée, the Lycée Français all over the world. And I went to the one here in Los Angeles shortly after it opened. So my whole development between dad and learning French and the French lycée, very European. And when I moved back to the Los Angeles, I couldn't imagine teaching anywhere else, but I taught there and started there in 2015. And in 2019, we had our Long March conference on May 5th, and literally the next day they said, we're not renewing your contract. Oh. And they cited back at me a quote that I had made about Western civilization. It's been the greatest force for good. And we here at the American Freedom Alliance, even if we weren't born here, we are its beneficiaries. And they said that was sort of an indicator of my bigotry. Nothing I had said in the class was any indication of bigotry, because I'm not a bigot. But saying that somehow was an indication of bigotry. And it just got uglier from there. So, and they let me go. And I'm involved in a lawsuit, which is pretty great. I have Harmeet Dhillon. If your American viewers probably know of her, she's very loud and very outspoken on the topic of discriminating against conservatives. So terrific work. It was a stunning thing to happen, to lose one's job over the defense of Western civilization at a French school, the French, where I learned my love of Western civilization by the current president of the school's father. He's the one who was in charge at that time. So they when I took on AFA, and one of the, like I said, one of the issues was defense of Western civilization, I thought, oh, that's just hysteria. It is not. And we see this every day more and more. That is literally the aim of the destruction.
And I saw, I think it was 3 years ago, you had Charlie Kirk and David Horowitz. So we have a David Horowitz on.
Yes.
A huge figure in so many areas in freedom.
And that was our Left's Long March to the Institutions Conference. We opened it with David Horowitz, who this is what he, this has been his goal. He used to go into the schools and talk to the students and everything. And he understood very well about the leftist indoctrination. So he opened it, and then we had something like 20 speakers, and it was, we had education K through 12, we had education universities, we had banking and legal and medical, we had entertainment just throughout the day, and then to close it, so bookended with Charlie Kirk, and it was stupendous. And because of him, we had, I don't know, 40 students came from UCLA and USC, the local Turning Point chapters. And he, again, the end of a really depressing day, but he's, you know, talking about the things that he's doing and the funny stories and the bad stories and energizing everyone there. And again, bookending from one of the original titans of this to one of the newer titans. So, you know, how do I put these together? I don't know. Just they were the perfect match, I think. And it was an unbelievable conference. And by the way, all those videos can be found on our YouTube channel, which we still have a YouTube channel, but we're still in YouTube jail until mid-July. But we're building our Rumble channel and our BitChute channel and our Brighteon channel. And you and I spoke about this. We're trying to spread all over the place. Watch us on Getter.
There are lots of possibilities out there to get the word out. And as we find, and obviously you find, that you get restricted on discussing these things when you have to look for other options, other platforms to take the word out. And it's exciting that there are so many of those available these days.
It's thank goodness, because imagine if there weren't. And I think the United States were particularly lucky with alternative media, although here you are with alternative media also. It's starting to grow, and that's pretty great.
Tell us about...
So, yeah, we do all those things.
I mean, Islam is another one that you've had, again, big speakers. I find it intriguing that you have focused on so many of the big issues. Often organizations will focus on one, and that's what they do. But actually, you've got such a widespread, and obviously you focused on Islam, which is a no-no. You don't go there, but you're happily have that open and honest and frank conversation about what Islam means in our Western societies today and that freedom.
It's so important. I mean, I refuse to be silenced. I think there's a lot of things that I've taken on, not really understanding what price one does pay, like losing my job, for example. But it wouldn't matter, because the truth does need to be told. The truth shall set you free.
Yep.
Islam, is a religion, whatever. It's when it subverts the rule of law in your own country, when it supersedes the Constitution, when there are factions, I don't care, of any kind, who are counter to what we believe to be right and good. And that's freedom, that's individual rights, that's our Constitution versus Islam. It's pledging on the Bible, not on the Quran. Very different, obviously, perspectives. A religion, as Noni Darwish, who's become a very good friend, said, you know how you can tell a religion from a cult is a religion won't threaten to kill you when you leave. Yes. So is that okay to say? You know, I'm going to say it. I'm sitting here in the United States. I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody else, but but it becomes problematic. So our first conference, we did have, we had Noni, we had Bosch Faustin, who drew, who won the Draw Mohammed contest.
We've had Bosch on before. I've got to know him well. He's a great guy.
I have one of his drawings here somewhere.
He's great.
He is, and you have to have courage. And I think that's become one of my main issues recently. So yes, AFA, we take on all these things. If something is a big impediment to freedom, we will take it on. We created an anti-mandate task force during COVID. Was it a thing we even gave a moment's thought to prior to COVID? No, we weren't even anti-vax. We were anti-mandate because mandates are anti-freedom. They're another vehicle to totalitarianism. So we are open to pivoting to wherever school shootings. Are we an anti-school shoot? We are anti those things that impede freedom. And I think that that's really important. We are able to pivot wherever we need to. We're looking at October at a conference on global organizations, be they governmental, non-governmental, that again are impeding freedoms. That's one reason I love AFA, is if our mission is freedom, preserving Western civilization, then we can pivot wherever we want. And I think that that's really important. And again, I mentioned courage. During COVID, we realized it's very easy to, and you had mentioned this too, it's easy to be silenced. It takes courage to speak up, which means that without courage, that's when things fall apart. We started a newsletter, physical hard copy in the mail called Tharos, which means courage in Greek. Our new podcast is called Parisia, which is also ancient Greek for that one small, not necessarily small, that one courageous voice in the face of a dominant narrative. That's what we need to be. It's really, really all about courage. And that's what we aim to do.
What does it mean? Because you talk about freedom, talk about often American values and how they fit in to that freedom. What does it mean for you there, running an organization, American organization, fighting for freedom? What does it mean when you talk about kind of American values? How do they, how do you explain that, I guess, to the world?
Yeah, that's a great question. To me, there's two parts. There's what is it that America was founded on? Risk, adventure. Were the pilgrims, for example, fleeing really awful things? No, they wanted more religious freedom. Their lives weren't at risk. They weren't trying to escape something that was truly, they were leaving you guys. And Plymouth is lovely, one of my favorite cities. They wanted more freedom. They wanted more freedom, and they were willing to take risks for it. Christopher Columbus took risks. The American sort of frontier spirit, more individual rights, understanding the importance of property rights. Our founders sent that letter to King George III saying, you know, here's a bunch of our problems, the Declaration of Independence. They really didn't think that he was going to say, you know what? You make some excellent points. Go ahead. Take your little continent. All's good. You know, glad to have gotten you off on the right foot. They knew that what they did was treasonous. And they did it anyway. They did it anyway, knowing it was probably going to result in war, that they could have lost. The odds were against them. So the American spirit is all that kind of thing of these higher values are important to us. These kinds of big freedoms, they're important enough to us to take these risks. Plus, they're based on, again, Judeo-Christian values. And then if you everything that went into the crafting of the Constitution, they had something prior to the Constitution, but it didn't work out all that well. They learned from history. They wrote this other most amazing thing. I don't know if you, the Miracle at Philadelphia is about the writing of the Constitution. They compromised, they crafted together this amazing thing. So there's that, those kinds of values. What are the other things? Checks and balances, bicameral Congress, yeah. The three different equal aspects of governance, the executive, the legislative, the judicial, which, by the way, we're seeing played out this week more than we have been yep. forever with various Supreme Court rulings. Basically said, this shouldn't have been decided at this level, but by the voters. Yeah. And they're exactly right, kicking it back to the states. So other American values are those kinds of checks and balances, understanding that man is flawed, but if you tap into ways of checking egos and checking tiers of governance with other tiers of governance, that may be the best way to do things. Nothing is perfect, but that may be a good way to do this. And that is being broken right now. But again, this week with the Supreme Court, it's feeling a little bit less broken.
Well, I'm hoping it gets less broken in November. I just want to ask your thoughts, and I want to finish off talking about you being over in Europe as well. But what about November, midterms? What are your thoughts looking in that from the inside?
I do think people have said that with the Roe v. Wade being overturned, that it's going to be a very bad thing for Republicans. I don't think so. I think the only reason Roe v. Wade was, in fact, overturned was because if we had had abortion law the way generally you have it in Europe, sort of up to 10 weeks, 12 weeks, we get it. But the Democrats until birth, and I am not even joking, in California, if your baby dies within a month of birth, no questions are allowed to be asked. Yeah. They're working on this right now. I think if the Democrats had left it sort of first trimester-ish, none of this would have happened. But yeah. Even Bill Clinton, so we're talking some time ago, vetoed the will of the people to say, you know, partial birth abortion isn't such a good idea. So the left pushed this far. Now there's pushback. I don't really think we're going to see big problems at the ballot box, as they say, in November. I think blue states will go bluer. I think red states will go redder. So where I am in California, very blue, I think there are individual candidates who will do very well. Overall, I don't know that we'll do particularly well in California. But I think across the country, I do believe there will be an unbelievable red wave as a result of how Joe Biden and his people and his puppeteers have really broken this country. Yeah. Every day I see evidence of, I just think my country is broken. My country is broken. Yes, some of it's COVID, but it could have been dealt with completely differently. The economy is broken. The supply chain is broken. Our medical system is broken. And that's not COVID. It was broken in order to facilitate the evil things because of COVID. Justified by COVID. I think our children are broken. I think our education is broken. You name a sector and it's deeply, deeply, deeply broken. People are feeling it. Gas prices, buying a new car, everything. It's just deeply broken. And they can blame Putin all they want. It's not Putin's fault. They can blame Trump all they want. We all know we were energy independent before this happened. Yep. So the brokenness of the country, I do really, really think people will turn to Republicans. They'll at least turn to not the incumbent, if the incumbent is of the blue party, it may not be so much of, oh, Republicans are going to save us, but these people broke it. Single party rule is a very bad thing, and that's what we have right now. So I think there's going to be a lot of turning against that. Just throw them all out. It will be interesting. I just personally really want us to be in government in sufficient numbers to impeach Biden. And not just sufficient numbers, but whoever's doing it to have the, again, courage, even though it might not pan out, we need to haul him before the bodies of governance, as they did twice to Trump for fractions of the what Biden has done. With Biden, the Hunter laptop and so on. I think Nancy Pelosi needs to be held in front. Also, this charade of the January 6th fake hearing. Every one of them has to be held accountable one way or another. And that's not even talking about crimes against humanity. So I want us to be in there in sufficient numbers and with sufficient courage.
I mean, it amazes me. No, but it amazes me in California, never having been in LA in my life until 2.5 months ago, and then again 2 weeks ago. And it got me annoyed seeing the drug abuse scene, the antisocial behavior scene. And that's just me coming for 2, 3, 4 days. And I'm thinking, how is it that those people all across California who voted Democrat have now got to the point where they're angry? So I'm wondering, how long is it till Democrat voters wake up?
Yeah, well, the homelessness, the drugs, the using people's lawns as toilets. The problem, well, aside from that being an obvious problem, so many of Republican voters have left. So there's that. So every drop of red that leaves us bluer. So there's that. Many do blame Trump, or this should be dealt with in another way, or you should raise taxes to solve it. It's really we need to throw more money at it. There's so much that's misguided. Children seeing this kind of thing, and walking around not clothed among our children, that they don't say, my God, it's the Democrats who have let this happen. I don't know that everybody quite sees it that way. It's a housing crisis because of greedy whatever, right? It's greed that caused this. So you need to, this is again where we come in and where you come in, that it's not greed that's the problem at all. If you poll most of the homeless, I know Reagan had done this, many of them, it's mental illness, it's drugs. Those obviously go together. But it's not that they lost their house because of, bad times befell them. That's really not how it is. So I don't know. The constant question is, how does one educate people? And that's why you do what you do. It's why I do what I do. It seems so obvious to us. We'll see. LA County, we're going to wind up with all five supervisors being Democrats again. There's no Republican made it in the running. Wow. So I don't know. We're going to wind up with Newsom again. We had the failed recall. How can this be? And again, we're back to the values of courage and risk taking. And there we are.
Yes. How can you still have Newsom? We'll find that out. Hopefully when we get to heaven, it may be a whole video to play of how on earth that happened. But also, tell me, just finishing off, tell me about you. You've been over to Europe and had European conference support. And I asked that, we're touching the European side, but because we don't really have such organizations as American Freedom Alliance over in Europe, and we don't have those connections. We certainly can't get the charitable status. That's a very American thing.
That's right.
organizations fighting for freedom being allowed to be charitable, we wouldn't get that here in the UK, or probably not in Europe. But yeah, what you've had conferences over in Europe. So tell us about that link, because I think it's always been a strong link between the UK and the US. And I think that what's happening across Europe can help the US understand and maybe warn them.
Yeah, yes. And this is one reason we do have people like Elizabeth Sabatich Wolf come over, and Katie Hopkins screaming from the rooftops, don't let this happen to you, right? I mean, we watch the canary, and we're sort of the last bastion, and it feels less and less like a last bastion. There's so many ways, our elections being one of them, that I don't feel we're particularly a first world country so much anymore. Europe looks to us, and how do you run elections like this? Anyway, that's a whole other story. Yes, AFA has had events in Europe in the past, and I would very much like to have events again. We, after our Global Freedom Movement conference, I had talked to Stephen Wolf and various of the other attendees that we should do this in Europe. And then, of course, we were all locked down. Yeah. I know others who are doing things in Europe. Peter Thiel has something coming up. There's a national conservative, National Conservative Hazzoni has an organization. I would very much like to do that because, again, it's the same stuff, different continent. We do need to work together. That's not to say we need an organization overseeing all the freedom fighters, but we need to discuss best practices, what works, what doesn't work. We need to ally ourselves with one another. And I do believe have an innate, not all of us, throughout Western culture, many of us do have a desperate need for freedom, for individual expression, for challenges, for, I don't know, improving ourselves. And before COVID, I thought it was more universal, and I've come to find that we're really in the minority, even in America. So I would love to do a conference that over in the UK, or be fun to do one in Brussels down the street from the EU building somewhere. It'd be kind of fun.
But
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sound fun. Well, I'm looking forward to coming and seeing you again, Karen, in October. And it would be wonderful to reach out again and to do something in Europe, as we certainly need the common sense that you're bringing through AFA. We certainly need that across Europe.
Thank you.
Definitely. Well, let me bring once again, you, the viewers, can go to AmericanFreedomAlliance.org, go and make use of the website and check out previous conferences, and also certainly on YouTube, there are lots from previous conferences. So go and make use of both of those.
Yes.
So I think that anything else I've missed, Karen, you want to throw in?
No, I think we've covered just about everything. Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, there's an infinite amount, but I think we've compacted things very well.
Well, if you could work on fixing LA before I come again in October, I'd be really appreciative.
I'll do my best.
Let me finish off with our viewers, Karen, before I let you go. And thank you so much for tuning in. Do make use of the links there for American Freedom Alliance. And do let us know how you find them, or any questions, drop us an email, info@heartsofoak.org. As always, thank you for watching, however you've been watching. I see lots of comments down in Getter. I haven't brought you in, but I wanted to chat to Karen. I brought you in on Saturday, I think. We brought most of the comments in. But thank you for watching. On Thursday, we have Ben Carson, will interview, pre-record with him on his new book, Looking at Race in America. Fascinating subject. Fascinating. I nearly finished listening to his book on audiobook, but he'll be coming to us pre-record, and that'll be going out on Thursday. So tune in for that for our viewers and our listeners. So I think on that, I'll wish our viewers a wonderful rest of your evening, wherever you are. I don't know if it's evening or morning, early afternoon on the West Coast. So wherever you're watching, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you on Thursday. So thank you and goodbye.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list, donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.